Bible says that the way into the Father's presence is open, that we can approach Him without fear or trembling. And so with your eyes closed, you can picture yourself before the great throne room of your Father, before God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you have an audience with them this morning. And I think He would be saying to you something along the lines of what's on your heart. So take a couple of moments just to talk to Him. What's worrying you? What are you anxious about? What are you afraid of? Where are you hurting? Just take a couple of moments to talk to your Father. As you share with Him, experience the peace that passes all human understanding settling in your soul as He loves you perfectly. And allow that love just to settle into the core of your soul. So, Father, would You draw us all as Your children to Yourself this morning, as You always do, day in and day out. But may we be aware of it this morning, just the love of God for us, this great King who we honor and exalt as we've just sung, a great King who is for us and with us and watches over us. As we spend time in Scripture and Word preached, would you speak to us, Father, Your words of love, encouragement, challenge and hope. We all need to hear from You this morning. And so speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. And I ask Fred to come forward, who's going to do our scripture reading for us today. I don't even know what it is, Fred. You'll have to announce it. Is it on the screen? There we go, Luke 1, 26 to 38. If you want to also turn there in your own Bibles or tablets, whatever you have brought with you, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. 238. Thanks, Reed.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thanks, Fred. Good morning, church. Five more sleeps until Christmas. If you don't know me, I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. All the cheesy decorations, all the carols playing since September. And I'm not alone. Millions of people also love Christmas. And not just Christians. In fact, I think more non-Christians love Christmas than Christians. I've got a Muslim colleague who absolutely loves Christmas too. She insists on decorating our office. This year she complained bitterly that our tree was white and it wasn't big enough. So we went to a client a couple of weeks ago and she saw this huge tree, sort of two stories high. She took a photo, sent it to a PA and said, "Organize. Next year, this is the tree I want." Now, we can also get quite cynical about Christmas and say that it's just putting a Christian tag on a pagan festival, or it's all about retailers just wanting to get as much money out of us as possible. But as we heard last week, there are many, many Christian families in this church and across the world who are trying to really celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. So what is the true meaning of Christmas? This question was asked to a few people on a London street. I think we've got a video of what they answered.
Christmas means to me, it means family. It means being close to the ones you love and remembering all the good things you have in life.
A time when you can spend time with your families, eat loads of food.
I'm a new dad and my son was born in March, so I'm very, very excited about spending the day with him and seeing him open his presents and then see really his reaction and my family's or his grandparents' reaction.
Plus, there's always the advantage of getting the day off work, which is always great.
What I really love is on Christmas Eve going to Midnight Mass and everybody coming together and all the candles being lit and singing carols and songs and things like that and seeing all my friends.
Presents, get time with your family.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Clothes.
Peace.
Yeah. Nice big dinner.
Yeah, roast turkey.
Dinner's the best.
Yeah. It means that I get to eat like good food that's not from Iceland that costs a pound and is covered in salt, and I don't have to cook it for once. I don't have to do my own washing either. I get to sleep in a nice comfy bed and my house is warm, which is in uni. My house has no heating and my bed is very much hard.
Being together, just having a nice time and thinking of people less fortunate, I suppose.
I think it means family. I think the religious aspect is one thing, but I think it's more about family getting together, for me anyway. I live in the United States, so I come over for Christmas to be with my family, and it's important.
Well, really, it's meeting the grandchildren, I suppose, really, you know, and they're all being together. They all sing little songs, and we all have a good time, you know, I mean, and it'll be lovely, you know, there, yeah.
To me, Christmas means spending time with your family and friends and having a good old drink.
So some interesting responses. The usual, eating lots of food, spending time with family. But there were also a few more meaningful comments, giving to the less fortunate. Even a couple of people mentioned going to church. And these are good reasons to celebrate. But they're reasons we would give to celebrate any special day, any holiday. We mark important dates. We remember key people from history. We give thanks for what we have. We remember people that don't have. Even secular holidays like Thanksgiving in the US or our Freedom Day here in South Africa. We celebrate these things, and they're good things to celebrate. But Christmas is so much more, because it's something so incredible. Now, the passage that Fred read is one of those passages that for 2,000 years people have argued about. People outside the church have ridiculed the church because of this passage. Sadly, even people within the church have ridiculed the church because of the passage. And the passage, we could probably preach an entire sermon series on it. There is so much in it. The virgin birth, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. There's so much in here. Jesus being fully man, fully God. But in Angel Gabriel's opening line to Mary, he says something so profound, yet at the same time, something so simple. Something completely unbelievable, but yet something that as Christians we believe and we experience on a daily basis. He says two profound things. One, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of all, is with us. And two, Jesus, God Himself, works through us, works through you and me in extending His kingdom. So here we have God, Creator, Lord of everything. He sees His beautiful creation, human beings who's created in His image, and He sees a complete mess. The humans have just messed everything up, created a horrible, horrible mess of everything, of creation, of relationships with one another, relationships with God. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone had made such a horrible mess of something I had given them, if they'd misused it, broken it, stamped on it, spat on it, what I would do is take it back, probably after punishing the person for having made such a complete mess of everything. But God's solution is so different, something I just struggle to comprehend. He decides to save us, to restore it, restore this creation to the way it was intended to be. And He chooses to do it not by wiping it all out and starting again, not by zapping us with some bolts of lightning, but by actually coming to be with us, becoming human, and experiencing the mess with us. God chooses to take on the mess, take on the punishment for our sins. He decides to be part of the mess. God isn't a God that sits on a throne in heaven judging us, like some religions believe, just somehow keeping score. God isn't a distant God, not interested in what's happening here. He isn't even a God that said, enough, let you just wallow in what you've created. I'm done. Now our God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, comes down to earth to be with us. He experiences the pain we're going through. He understands the grief. He understands temptation. He understands it all. He even knows what it's like to be completely rejected, ridiculed, beaten, even killed. He even knows what it's like to be completely vulnerable. He doesn't come to earth as a mighty warrior. He comes to earth as a baby, completely dependent on Mary and Joseph. Our God is with us. When Angel Gabriel says to Mary, "The Lord is with you," he's saying that Jesus would be with Mary physically in human form. Jesus, the man, is no longer with us, but He left so that the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, could be with all of us. And for those that love Jesus, He is in us. That's a crazy thought. Like, we walk around with God. God is with us. God is here. Why would God choose to be with us? Why would God choose to come to earth, to be with us in this complete mess? Simply because He loves us and He wants to be in a relationship with us, mess and all. He loves us to the point where He'll take on our mess, take on our sin, the sin of the world, everything, so that we can be free, where we can be part of His kingdom, a kingdom where there is no pain, no suffering, no sin, where governments aren't corrupt, a kingdom where everybody has enough, where gangs don't shoot innocent children, where our loved ones don't get sick and die. But that's not a kingdom we see around us. We see death, disease, we see poverty, we see excess. And we do know that one day Jesus is going to come again and put it all right. Everything will be good. Everything will be according to God's plan, God's perfect kingdom. But what about now? God isn't just waiting for that day, biding his time until he's ready. God already knows the day and the hour that Jesus will come again. But God has chosen to use us, to work through us in extending his kingdom. Now that's a crazy plan. If you want to create the perfect kingdom, I would think the last people you want to use are the people that created the mess in the first place. But that's what God's doing. Every time someone hears and responds to the good news about Jesus, God's kingdom is extended. Everyone that proclaims Jesus is Lord is another person, part of God's kingdom. So God uses us to share the love, to share the good news about Jesus with others. That's how God works through us. But God also works through us in other ways, like mopping up some of the mess we've created. And that's not easy. In fact, it's incredibly difficult at times. But as Angel Gabriel explained to Mary, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. And Angel Gabriel also says that our loving Father overshadows us. Now the word overshadow means to wrap around, to cover, to embrace, like a bird covering its young. So no matter what God asks us to do, whether it's just to walk up to someone and share the love of Jesus with them, or to go into some gang-ridden place, God will protect us and empower us. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. Look at Mary. At the time when Angel Gabriel spoke to her, she was betrothed or engaged to Joseph. Now in those times, an engagement wasn't like today, where it's pretty much about two people fall in love, promise to get married. Engagements in those days were pretty serious things. They were between two families, and they would probably have been negotiated for years between the two families. So it wasn't just two people, but two families coming together. It was a legally binding relationship, bringing the two houses or the two families together. And one of the most important conditions for an engagement was that the woman had to be a virgin. She had to be pure and holy. If she was found that she wasn't a virgin, or even suspected that she wasn't a virgin, the engagement or the betrothal would be broken. And not only would she never be able to be engaged again, but likely the family wouldn't. So the family would be shamed, would be dishonored. So Angel Gabriel telling her that she would conceive or she would bear a child had huge repercussions for her and for her family. She didn't know that at the same time Joseph was being told that Mary would be with child and that he shouldn't shame or dishonor her. And she just simply responds by saying, "Okay, if it's your will, let it be." So why does God choose to work through us? Surely it would be easier for him just to do it all himself. Bring in a troop of angels to earth, sort everything out. Yeah, far easier and far more efficient and effective. So why does he use you and me? Let's face it, we're pretty shocking choices. I'm a pretty shocking choice. I get very easily distracted, very sinful, yeah, full of excuses. So why would God use me? Why would God use you? The same reason he chose to be with us. Because he loves us. He wants to build a relationship with us, a two-way relationship. God isn't just about the end. God is about the now. God is about being with us and working with us and through us. For those of you who are parents, beautiful day outside, after church, go out for the day, perhaps you're going to the beach. The point is not to get to the beach and back again, although sometimes I think that perhaps is the point. But then you may never have left. You may as well have stayed at home. The point is to be together, to have fun together, to do life together. Even if your kids throw sand at each other or, you know, throw tantrums because brother's sitting where the sister needs to sit, the point is to be together. God wants to do life with us. God wants to be with us. Him and me, him and you. We can't save ourselves from the mess in the world. We get that. Jesus had to die on the cross and be raised from the dead. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God has given us a wonderful gift to be part of his great plan for this world, for his kingdom, for his eternal kingdom, to be part of his work on earth here and now. He wants to work alongside us. So if you spend your days feeding the birds or feeding the poor, if you spend your days proclaiming the love of Jesus from a pulpit or just speaking to your friend, it's all part of God's work, and it's all part of God working through us. So Christmas isn't just a time to remember Jesus, to remember the man Jesus. It isn't even a time just to say thank you for what he's done. Christmas is a time for being with God. It's a time for the present, not the past. Quite simply, God is with us. God loves us, and God wants to be with us. That's what Christmas means. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that is with us, not a distant God, but a God who loves us enough to want to be with us, no matter what we've done, no matter what mess we've created, Lord. And that you would somehow use us, your people, to be part of your great plans, your plans for mopping up the mess we've created and bringing your perfect kingdom into being, Lord. So as we go into the next few days leading up to Christmas, Lord, the hustle and the busyness, the getting ready, and the wrapping up the year, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll just sit and be with you, speak to you, read your word, and just do life together. That whatever we do, Lord, it's with you. And we thank you, Lord. In your awesome name, Lord Jesus. Amen.